following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Joining us now, Congressman from the 6th District of Virginia, that's the Southwest Virginia area, Lynchburg through Roanoke, Congressman Ben Klein. Congressman, great to have you, sir.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
So, Congressman, we got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the border and all these Democrats voting against the president's emergency order, 13 Republicans voting with Pelosi, you, not one of them. Thank you for that. What's the deal here? Do they just want an open border situation? Or, you know, you've been there a couple months now talking to your colleagues. What do the Democrats want, sir, on the border? What do they want?
Oh, they want an open borders. You're absolutely right. And it's becoming clearer and clearer, and they're being bolder and bolder about calling for open borders, and it's all about the president. They just want to oppose the president. Many who have voted for borders in the border walls in the past have decided that because it's a Trump border wall, they don't want it. And so yesterday in the Judiciary Committee, we had a hearing on the crisis at the border involving unaccompanied minors, but every Democrat up and down the row talked about the emergency at the border, the crisis at the border, and I asked them. I said, "Wait, you're telling me we have an emergency at the border? That's pretty much what the president is saying, and that's what he's trying to address." So, the hypocrisy is just becoming so overwhelming; it's ridiculous.
The Mueller investigation about to draw to a close. Boxes are being moved out. I heard last night that it's maybe 10 days to 2 weeks from wrapping up. When that is done, Congressman Ben Klein, do you think that it should be made public? Do you think there should be complete transparency? I mean, taxpayers have invested, $50 million in this 2 years. Should that be released? What do you think, sir?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of transparency, put in a number of transparency measures in the House. The General Assembly had to stay an extra day because of a Klein rule that I put in place to require 48-hour review for the final budget. And I was up here getting texts and tweets from my colleague down in Richmond just giving me a little bit of grief about them having to stay an extra day, all in fun. But, you know, transparency is critical in our government. It's the people's government, and we have to remember that. And so we need to release the Mueller report, and so that everybody can see exactly what they found or what they did not find.
Is it realistic to expect after – this is the Ox, by the way, from Minnesota, talk show host, sir. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, sir. Yeah, likewise. But is it realistic to expect that the Mueller report will come out benign after all this time? I mean, how in the world can it come out benign? They've got to find something, don't they? Otherwise, he's the laughing stock, and this whole thing is exposed for the fraud that it is.
I think that it's very likely that they, after reviewing and going through all of the investigatory steps, that they don't find anything. And if they don't, we'll look at the facts. And you know, the problem will be that you have partisans up here who are so rabidly against the president that they won't let that be the end of it. Adam Schiff is talking to the very people who are involved in this situation, creating conflicts of interest that he is alleging occurred on the in the president's situation. So again, Schiff is looking to not end when the Mueller report is filed. regardless of what it says.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, and we need to press to end it if that's what the Mueller report says.
Well, you wonder if we're looking back on this in 2 or 3 years as to the Mueller report. I mean, is this just going to be the biggest boondoggle ever?
Yes. Yes.
I think it will be.
It is going to be. Look, this is going to go down in history as one of the biggest hoaxes, heists ever. Ever foisted on the American public.
They're
because
gonna claim,
there's nothing there.
They're going to claim victory, right? That Manafort's in jail and that Cohen's in jail.
None of that had anything to do with Russian collusion or anything else.
Yep.
Remember, in the book Shattered, written by two Democrat reporters that were running around following the Hillary Clinton campaign, that book Shattered, which I read, and they said it right in there. They expected Clinton to win, and then they were going to write a book on how she won and everything else. And, of course, they were shattered that night, and they sat around with a couple scotches, and they said, wow, what are we going to blame this on? And they're like, the Russians, right? And, I mean, they did spend $100,000 on Facebook. I mean, they did.
It's an honor for me to get appointed to the Judiciary Committee. We're going to follow the facts. We're not going to follow the allegations. We're not going to, you know, we're only going to follow the facts that are presented to us. And so we're looking forward to the Mueller report being presented to Congress, the facts that are in the Mueller report. And that's what the Judiciary Committee is going to base its actions on, the facts that are in the report, and not just a bunch of political winds that blow here and there.
Congressman, how do you get how's your relationship with Georgia Congressman Doug Collins, who's really going to be the front line here in defending the president on these allegations and the subpoenas and everything that come from Intel Chair Adam Schiff? Do you guys have a good working relationship, and do you see yourself being able to be one of his key guys?
We do. We have a great working relationship. Doug Collins is a solid guy. And will be a steady hand for the minority on the Judiciary Committee, and I'm proud to be one of his lieutenants, as it were, on the Judiciary Committee in the minority, and hopefully we won't be in the minority too much longer.
Well, I hope not. Now, you're the chairman of that is Nadler, right?
Right, Jerry Nadler,
Jerry Nadler from New York. And so basically Ben Klein and Doug Collins on the front lines here in defending the president against subpoena after subpoena. Michael Cohen testifying, sir, today. He's going to jail pretty soon, but he's saying that the president's a liar, that he's a racist, that he's a cheat, that he's this, he's that, and he had crimes in office. Did this guy just lie to the Congress, and that's why he's going to jail? What is up with this guy?
It is just ridiculous that the first witness who's called to testify by the Democrats when they get their new majority is somebody who's going to jail for lying to Congress. It just it boggles the mind.
You can't make this up.
Understand just the kind of politics that they're engaged in. His testimony has no credibility at all. Whatever he has to say to the Committee on Government Reform and Oversight, I'm not very interested in it, because he's got a prison cell waiting for him, and the crime of which he is committed is convicted is lying to Congress.
Congressman Klein, you can't make this stuff up. I mean,
I know.
It's like out of the Onion newspaper, right? You were saying,
absolutely,
or the National Enquirer that you get on the supermarket at the food line there when you're checking out with your eggs and milk. I mean, it's incredible. This guy is going back to Congress, and he's going to jail for lying to Congress, and now he's going back to Congress to testify
to get the real truth.
Get the real truth, and it's a star witness. Congressman, we're sorry to laugh. We know you have a tough job.
It's a ridiculous time when politics are overruling good policy, and we're seeing valuable resources up here, taxpayer resources that should be used to further the taxpayers' interests, but they're being misused for political purposes by the Democrats, and we have to call it out every time we see it.
John Fredericks, Radio Network, Trucking the Truth Across America, live Washington, D.C. We're with Dan Ochsner, radio talk show host extraordinaire, Ox in the Afternoon throughout Minnesota, FOJ, friend of John. We're with another FOJ, Congressman Ben Klein, 6th District Republican from Virginia. That's the Lynchburg, Roanoke area. Congressman, the president right now, as we speak, having dinner with Chairman Kim Jong-un, trying to get some kind of denuclearization deal. Already the Democrats blasting him, saying he should have went. He can't get anything done. Bad idea. Same Democrats, basically, that want to negotiate for peace and give peace a chance, blasting Trump on this. I know you've been briefed on some of it. What are the minimum expectations you're looking for here for President Trump with his summit with Kim Jong-un, sir?
Well, I'm hopeful that the president will make progress, but and I'm hopeful that we can see some movement from the North Koreans other than no testing, which is progress. The fact that they have not, over the last several months, engaged in any nuclear testing, fired any missiles, tested any missiles. So that's progress, but we need to move them off of the dime and get them moving toward rolling back a lot of their nuclear system. And so I hope that we'll see some signal from Trump and from the North Koreans that that's about to occur, and that we can look ahead to a day when there's absolutely denuclearization on the peninsula and North Korea takes its place among the industrialized nations of the world that are more democratic and less despotic than North Korea has been for 70 years now.
Are you willing to buy into the notion that little Kim really wants his future for his kids as an industrialized nation, that he's actually looking to move into that world? Are we buying this from him? Has he had an epiphany?
No, I'm sure that he sees what Trump has done is marketed to Kim the idea of North Korea as an economic powerhouse, and it's appealing to him, no doubt, the idea. But will Kim embrace that if it means losing some of the power that he has over the economy and over the system that he has? That's the question. Is he willing to take that risk?
Just wonder
and
if he's
I'm
seeing,
not sure.
I wonder if he's seeing the writing on the wall that his system is unsustainable and that his population is going to evaporate, basically, and money's going to dry up here pretty soon within his lifetime.
Well, the sanctions that the president's put on him have been very dire, because they're cutting off their food supply. They're cutting off their cash supply.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't get hard cash. And look, the minute and their army right now, they have to take a day a week out of training and they have to rummage for food in the woods, in the forest. When you can't feed your army and you're Kim Jong-un, it's over. So, I mean, this guy's got some stark realities that he's got to deal with, because if he loses the military, they turn on him. He's out. Same thing with Maduro in Venezuela, all these dictators. Congressman, we're almost out of time, but, you know, I have to ask you this question, Congressman.
Sure.
Your favorite topic, Virginia, right? So,
yeah.
The Republicans led by Kirk Cox calling for hearings to hear the women who have made the alleged victims against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, and the Republicans saying they deserve to be heard. They have a voice. They want a hearing. They deserve to be heard. Your former colleagues in the House of Delegates, led by Eileen Filler Corn, blocking them, attempting to block them from testifying and giving Justin Fairfax his due process. Now the Republicans saying we're going to go forward with it anyway. Should Fairfax resign? Should they have the hearings? What do you think?
Well, the facts are still coming out. And as a former prosecutor, a sexual violence prosecutor, I know that we have to wait for all the facts to come out. And I also believe that every woman deserves to be heard, an opportunity to tell her story. And so these women do deserve the opportunity to tell their story. So while the statute of limitations hasn't run in either Massachusetts or North Carolina, where these crimes were alleged to have been committed, there is not that opportunity there is talk of the House of Delegates giving them that opportunity, and we'll see what the facts have to say. I don't want to prejudge on that basis, and that's, you know, it's the same opportunity that I wanted given in the Kavanaugh hearings. The allegations from Ms. Blasey Ford needed to be heard. Women deserve the opportunity to be heard, so the same thing should apply here in this case. But we shouldn't rush to judgment until the facts are heard. Now, on the governor, that's a different story. The picture in the yearbook was abhorrent and racist and has no place in Virginia, and he is unable, he's compromised in his ability to lead this state. He's not running for re-election, so for the benefit of the state, the people of Virginia, he needs to go. And so I've called for his resignation, and I continue to hope that he will do what's right for Virginia and step down.
What about Mark Herring, who did the exact same thing?
Well, since he can run for re-election, I think it's up to the voters, and I'm hopeful that the Democratic Party will not nominate him. I have every confidence that he will not be nominated or elected by the general public for any future office. But it's up to the voters to decide that, and so we'll see what happens in another 3 years. But for the governor who can't run for re-election, I think we can't advertise Virginia. It's the best state. It's a great state to do business in. We need to advertise it from coast to coast around the world. And this governor is busy running around tunnels underneath the governor's mansion because he's afraid to go outside for fear that he's going to get protested. We can't have that in our governor's mansion, and so that's why we need a new governor.
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Join the live Twitter discussion.
I'm Twittering. Did you get my tweets? I just twoted all over the place.
Follow John Fredericks at JF Radio Show.
Go right to Vanessa Newman, President. Asymmetrica, a dual citizen, U.S., Venezuela. She's been very involved in the Venezuelan situation. Vanessa, riots over the weekend, the Maduro security apparatus burning trucks with food and medicine supplies on it, trying to get over the bridge from Colombia. Then Maduro blaming the Colombians for this, throwing out their diplomats. He's dug in. Zero, hopefully, chance of the U.S. putting troops there or doing some sort of an invasion. Many of us vehemently opposed to that. Don't want to get involved in that type of regime change. But Maduro dug in, and he's still got the military, and he's still got Caracas. What happens now?
That out step by let's parse that. Thanks for having me on. Let's parse that out step by step. First of all, what you saw was absolutely a crime against humanity. Basically, there are laws in international law that you cannot block humanitarian aid or food from medicine when it is foreseeable that doing so will result in the massive deaths of masses of people, which is exactly what is happening in Venezuela. People are you know, we're now looking into how many people will die in the short term as a result of the blockage of the food and medicine that was meant to come in at the weekend. In terms of military defections, there are now about 300 military officers who have flipped sides and crossed the border into Brazil and into Colombia, mostly into Colombia, because they didn't want to be a part of that. Now, that's still a very small number. That's still nowhere near enough to fracture the regime. But they do bring things with them like intelligence, so they will be debriefed and say, hey, you know, how are things? Where are other people? What do you think? What are the internal dynamics? That's just normal. That's always what happens in all of these scenarios. So what you're going to see is now Elliot Abrams went to the UN yesterday, and he said, I'm going to push for a resolution this week that the humanitarian aid has to be accepted because it violates even what Maduro did, violates even UN laws. I mean, there's got to be a limit to the UN's tolerance of people not abiding by its own resolutions and laws. And in the meantime, the opposition of Juan Guaido, he has to re-enter the country probably today. His life is under threat, but he'll have to come back anyway to continue to lead. And the opposition will continue to push forward with, trying to get people to accept the humanitarian aid and then eventually have free and fair elections. Now, that whole free and fair election thing is a whole other issue where you're going to have to get international observers and support, and that's not going to be easy under the current setup. But it's a challenge, and it was absolutely brutal. And as a Venezuelan, I was crying because we were getting, live reports from people on the ground as they were being shot, all for asking for food. So it's a horrible situation. And for the opposition, it's not the opposition anymore. It's now the legitimate government mm-hmm. of Juan Guaido. It really helps reveal to the world what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. That this is a brutal dictator who just doesn't care if his people die. Mm-hmm.
It's beyond the pale. Seeing the scenes on Saturday and Sunday, Vanessa Newman, of trucks trying to come over that bridge from Colombia with humanitarian aid, food, and medicine being firebombed. It was an incredible scene. And you were the precursor, the predictor of this, because you said that Maduro's hold on Caracas is the fact that he's controlling the limited food supply. So they have to go to him for the food boxes. And so that's why they wanted to keep the humanitarian aid out, because then people can get their foods from somewhere else. I mean, the whole thing is sickening beyond belief. But he's dug in. And so it's just a matter of now of cutting his funding off. And you got to get the military to turn on him. And the only way they're going to do that is they stop getting paid.
Well, exactly. They have to stop getting paid. I think that, our estimates with some friends of mine who've done a lot of work on cutting off the funding to ISIS, the financial war against ISIS, and also Hezbollah, and have vast experience in this, we think that only about 10% of their money has really been found and has been blocked. So, if you're a bad guy, you think, well, all right, I'll take a 10% loss, considering that 100% of my money is stolen anyway.
Right.
I'll take a 10% loss, and I'll stay in office. I'll stay in power because I'm still up 90%. So the question is, we need to find that. The other thing is, and for that, Guaido needs to grow, empower his ambassadorships, and for them to be recognized by more and more countries. They have been recognized, but those countries like Peru did yesterday need to kick out Maduro's cronies. And that hurts because all of these guys have stolen so much money. They all have their kids. And like the premier boarding schools in the United States, in Switzerland, and like really expensive universities, fabulous apartments in Paris, and all of that. And they really live the life of Riley. And when those kids get, when they knock on the door and they say, listen, you're getting on a plane out of here, that hurts. And they very often will flip more over that than over almost anything else. Don't forget, they're Latin Americans. So the sense of family, even if a sense of loyalty, decency to your compatriots doesn't kick in, to your family it will. So that's another thing. And the ambassadors need to then, have the power to keep lobbying, to get all those accounts frozen and turned over to Juan Guaido quickly. And that needs to be the strategy. While simultaneously, we keep pushing to see whether this meets the standard for a crime against humanity and becomes a reason for a responsibility to protect, which would mean that the food would have to be pushed through, perhaps with a military escort, to protect it, which we've done before in other places. And because it's a crime to purposely, foreseeably starve your people.
Well, that is the strategy that you've laid out. And as you said, as long as he can control that's Maduro, President Maduro, or whatever his name is, dictator Maduro, because he's not legitimately elected. He's not legit. He's just trying to control the food boxes. But that's a pretty good strategy. I'm going to time Vanessa. I got to run. Vanessa Newman, Asymmetrica. You can follow her at what's your Twitter handle again? At Vanessa Neumann,
At Vanessa Neumann, which is at VanessaNeumann. Thank you.
You want to do that. At Vanessa.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A sheriff confirmed at least 14 people were killed by a possible tornado, and those numbers are expected to rise in Alabama on Sunday. As severe storms destroyed mobile homes, snapped trees, left a trail of destruction, and weather warnings extending into Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina. Dozens of emergency responders rushed in to assist in Lee County, Alabama, after what appeared to be a large tornado struck Sunday afternoon as part of that powerful storm system raking the southeast. President Donald Trump's nuclear summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ended without a deal, but the White House National Security Advisor John Bolton says he doesn't consider that outcome to have been a failure. Bolton says the president was ready to walk away from the talks if North Korea was not going to commit to a verifiable dismantling of its nuclear and missile sites. More details at srnnews.com.
All right, here's the great selling point of Relief Factor. Well, actually, the greatest selling point is that it works for the great majority of people who use it. But the big selling factor is really this. You can get all the pain relief benefits of Relief Factor without the negative side effects of ibuprofen. A couple of years ago, with great sciatic pain, I would take ibuprofen a lot, and it helped, but the side effects were so awful after a while that I just had to discontinue use. But that's not the problem with Relief Factor. So that's huge. So if you've been using any form of ibuprofen, now you don't have to with Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com, check out the pricing, and please give it a try because pain is pretty awful. Or call 800-500-8384. That's relieffactor.com.
You're invited to Festivals of Speed at the Amelia Island Plantation Resort, Saturday, March 9th. Festivals of Speed. Festivals of Speed is a gathering of exotic cars, classics, and muscle cars. Names like Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Lamborghini, Ferrari will all be on display. Join the fun and display your car with us at this beautiful resort. All makes and models are welcome. Enjoy on-site cafes, smooth jazz, cigar lounge, and more. Use code SAVE30. That's SAVE30 to save 30% off general admission tickets online. For information, visit festivalsofspeed.com. That's festivalsofspeed.com. Or call 352-406-9325. That's 352-406-9325. Don't miss Festivals of Speed at the Amelia Island Plantation Resort, Saturday, March 9th. Festivals of Speed.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
And joining us now is Elaine Parker. She is a Senior Communications Director for Job Creators Network and the President of Job Creators Network Foundation. Elaine, great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
So, okay, now, Elaine, here's the deal. People are starting to text and call me that they're doing their taxes, and they're starting to tell me how much money we saved. My family saved over $3,000, and I have a family of three, year over year. This is real money that I'm now putting into expanding my company. And many other people are telling me this. So the big lie is starting to be exposed. And here's the other thing that the lying fake newsers did. They said that big headlines, tax rebates are less. Well, they're less because they took out less money because that was part of the tax bill that was passed that they would lower their withholding. I mean, how stupid do you think do they think we are, Elaine?
Absolutely, John. And it's a really bad argument because it is true. Starting last year in the beginning of 2018, they changed the withholding tables and everybody started getting to keep more of their own money with each paycheck. And so the result is you paid in less money. So your refund may in fact be less. For some people, it may be less. For some people, it may be more. But to look at the size of your refund and decide I didn't get a tax cut is not the way to do it. And that's why the calculator we put on our website at taxcutswork.com will help you compare your 2017 total tax bill to your 2018 total tax bill. And you just need your W-2s from each year to make that comparison.
See, and that's why it's important that you do the comparison, because you can't base it on, well, what size is my refund check? You have to base it on the same income with the same situation, did you save money? What a lot of people are finding is their income went up because wages are growing and they pay considerably less. So you make more, pay less. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never seen a group of people more determined to distort the facts of this tax bill. The middle class and small business are directly benefiting from the tax bill. More than 80% of people across the board are benefiting from this tax bill through lower tax rates, through doubling of the standard deduction, doubling the child tax credit, the 20% tax deduction for small business allows small business owners to shield a fifth of their earnings so that they can reinvest it right back into their business. And our members who are small business owners are telling us that that's been a real game changer for them. And it's allowed them to expand their business. It's allowed them to hire more people and increase wages. And we even have a manufacturer in Pennsylvania who said, for the first time ever, I'm able to implement a 401k for my employees. And I hired 29 new people to boot. So, I mean, these are all good things. And that's why we're seeing an economy that's growing twice the rate that it did under Obama. And I'm amazed at the efforts that the mainstream media and that the Democrats go to absolutely distort and be dishonest about this bill.
Well, they have to be. They have to be dishonest about it because now they've doubled and tripled down because they tried to tell people at the beginning that it was a tax cut for big corporations and the rich and would not benefit the middle class or lower income people the way it is. So they had to lie to get through the midterms. Now they're still lying, and they capitalize on this false, this fake news, this false narrative that your refunds are less. I mean, they really think the American people are just stupider than a box of rocks. And the American voter proved in 2016 not so fast. And I think, Elaine, they're going to do it again. Now, let's get to AOC's new Green Deal. I find it amazing that as asinine as this is, and it is really asinine, I mean, it's like out of a comic strip, right? Basically, it's out of a cartoon. It's out of Nickelodeon. I mean, this thing is the most silliest thing I've ever seen. And yet you've got major Democratic candidates for president, some of them who actually have a chance to win, who are embracing this, even the ones that know it's complete craziness and kookiness, are petrified to come out against it because they don't want to upset the left-wing base. I mean, let me just give you an example, all right? A study is done by Bloomberg. And I'm waiting for Mayor Bloomberg to come out and say it's crazy. I'm telling you, the first Democrat who rejects the whole thing is going to have a leg up in New Hampshire. They're going to get beaten out, but they're going to have a leg up. So the so-called Green New Deal is going to cost $93 trillion over 10 years, according to the American Action Forum. Now, our debt now, what is it, $21 trillion? So our debt would go to what, $120? I mean, how can you even say this with a straight face.
It is amazing, and you're right. Every major Democratic candidate supports this plan, and it's coming out of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's the same person who just ran off Amazon 25,000 Amazon jobs out of New York that was bringing 25,000 jobs at a minimum. We've seen reports from Amazon that it could possibly be up to 40,000 jobs. And these were good-paying jobs. I mean, they were going to pay an average of $150,000. And she called those scraps. And you want to know why? Because the head of the state, the governor, and the mayor of New York City, the two top CEOs of that state, they negotiated the best deal that they thought was good for their constituents. And I'm not going to judge their deal. I know others have. I'm not going to judge it. But what I do know is math. And we're talking about nearly $30 billion coming in the form of tax revenues under this deal. And they were going to give $3 billion in tax rebates. Not some pile of money, but just rebates. So the net effect was going to be $27 billion into that state to help with subways, to help with teacher pay, to help with the homeless, to help with all the things that AOC believes in. And she took it all away. And now they have 100% of nothing. And just one more thing, John. There was a tweet that came out from Andrew Ross Sorkin after this happened. He's with CNBC. And right. What he said, based on what AOC did, is that there's a financial literacy epidemic in America. He said, quick lesson, NYC wasn't handing cash to Amazon. It was an incentive program based on job creation, producing tax revenue. That's what she either didn't understand or purposely distorted. I'm not sure. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But either way, New York doesn't have those jobs.
I know. And all they're going to do is shop it to another state who is going to give them the same deal, because in the end, they make money. Because it was not only 25,000 jobs at what was the average salary? Something like 150,000. I mean, it was an enormous number, Elaine. But it was, like you said, it was all the ancillary jobs that go with supporting Amazon that go with that. So it's not only 25,000 new jobs, but it's another 10 or 15,000 jobs supporting Amazon in different industries. Plus, like you say, it's Uber, it's Lyft, it's campfares, it's Subway, it's buses, it's meals, it's restaurants, it's coffee shops. It's all these people going to work buying things. It's the local grocer. It's the C-store. It's the airlines, people having money in order to take trips. I mean, it's the appliance stores. They buy things. It's people that are renting apartments or selling real estate. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on what this impact is. And she shuts it down and doesn't even understand it and runs them off. And I tell you what's been missed in this, Elaine, and tell me if you agree with this. What's been missed in this, as much as you want to bang on we want to bang on Bezos and the Washington Post and Amazon. What's missing in this is Bezos said, well, if you're going to treat me like crap, the hell with you. I'm getting out of here. Right? I mean, this really is something that while they're celebrating it, you got to take this guy seriously, because he's like, I'm not going to take my company and my $25,000, $150,000 average jobs and go to a place where people are protesting against me, and I've got state representatives leading a charge to kick me out. I'll go someplace else, right? I mean, isn't that what's missed here?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is, this was a small group of people that did this, because the majority of New Yorkers, they wanted this deal. They wanted these jobs. I mean, this wasn't even AOC's district. It was Representative Maloney's district, and she wanted these jobs. She was on with CNN right after it happened, and she said, I don't understand. We had this deal worked out. We had hours and days and weeks put into getting this deal worked out. My district wanted these jobs, and she admitted to being a progressive and agreeing with many progressive policies, but she said, we used to protest wars, and now we're protesting jobs. You know, it's a huge loss for New York. The governor called it a tragedy. I mean, it's amazing. I never thought in my wildest dreams that Job Creators Network would be aligned with the governor of New York on this issue. But here we are, all standing on the same side. This, it is a tragedy.
And the mayor de Blasio. I mean, here you are, the Job Creators Network, your two biggest allies right now in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio, right? Talk about strange bedfellows.
It's like bizarro world.
It is, and it's like de Blasio said. He said, look, I'll put my progressive credentials up against anybody in America, and that's true. The guy's very liberal. But he said, look, I'll also defend jobs. Like, there is no society without jobs, he said. It's insane. And then, to add insult to injury, Cuomo has stopped that gas pipeline in upstate New York, which is now the New Yorkers now have a shortage of energy, which means they have to buy the gas from outside, which means their energy costs are going up, and all the jobs that the pipeline was created are gone. I mean, they continue to do insane things to drive people out. It's just insane.
It is insane, and the cost of AOC's new Green Deal, Green New Deal, whatever you want to call it, we call it the Green Raw Deal, to be honest with you, because it's going to decimate this country. You know, this study just came out for American Action Forum. The high end is $93 trillion. The low end is $51 trillion. This is not monopoly money. Let's talk about the low end of the spectrum, $51 trillion. We can't afford it. I mean, Kamala Harris, newsflash, we cannot afford trillions of dollars of spending on the Green New Deal. And you know, it's almost unthinkable, but to listen to AOC the other night while she's making chili, and she basically said she's the boss. I'd like to remind her that the American people are the boss. They can vote you in, and they can vote you out.
Elaine Parker, we're out of time. Thank you for being with us. She is the president of the Job Creators Foundation and also senior communications director for the Job Creators Network. Thank you for being with us, Elaine. More information, taxcutswork.com. Libby Sasbo with us, former House Minority Leader in Colorado, assistant leader, and now a Jefferson Board of Commissions member. Libby Sasbo with us. Libby, tell us very quickly here, let's just get started. The
sure.
Trump tax cuts, what has it meant to your business? Tell us about your business, Libby, and what has it meant to your business?
Okay, so we've had a small manufacturing company in a town in my county, Arvada, Colorado, for, like you said, over four decades. And the tax cuts have just been a cool drink of water over a couple decades of overregulation and overtaxing that has really hurt our business and had a hard time. We've had a hard time of, you know, being able to hire more employees, give them a raise, those type of things, because we were just struggling to make ends meet. And so they've been a blessing, basically.
So now you've done your taxes this year, and Libby, one of the things that we've been talking about on the Job Creators Network for months here, months and months, is the big lie the Democrats told was that the tax cuts for the rich, it's for big corporations, didn't matter about small business, didn't matter about middle-income people. They were all going to get hammered, and it was a ruse. That's what the Democrats have been saying. Well, you're in the middle of doing your taxes now. I mean, is there a difference there financially, and have you been able to save money, or what have you done with that money?
Well, definitely there's been a difference. The tax cuts were not just for the ultra-rich, like the Democrats keep saying. They have affected everybody who actually pays tax. You don't get a tax cut if you don't pay tax because there's nothing to cut. It's like being bald and trying to get a haircut. You don't have hair, so you can't get a haircut. But it has changed, you know, the structure of the way we are paying our taxes, and also just the families, you know, that we've employed and our own family when we do our taxes. We were able to take less out of our paycheck and get back more. And that's very helpful when you're trying to, you know, make ends meet every day.
I tell you what, this for any small business owner, small business has been at the engine, really, of expanding the Trump economy, creating jobs, wages are going up, hiring people. But Libby, I want to get to the Job Creators Network billboards. I mean, the first billboard in Times Square, as you know, it's made national news. We all laughed about it. Then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, kind of sent a tweet out and mocking the billboard. And then we got a second billboard from the Job Creators Network in New York. There's two of them. And the first one says, I just got to read this. The first one says, hey, hey, AOC, saw your whack tweet.
Yeah, they just came right back at her, right?
I know. This is an actual billboard. Hey, AOC, saw your whack tweet. Job Creators Network. And then the second one.
When I saw that, I got a kick out of it also. It's just, you know, sometimes we sit back and don't say anything and don't reveal the truth of what's really going on out there. And without the truth, you can't make good decisions, whether it's in your own family, your job, if you're a government elected official, whatever it is. And, you know, her green raw deal, we have got to bring that to light and let the American people know what it is. If people were on the line listening to Vanessa Neumann, is that really where we want to go?
Exactly. I mean, look, you listen to Vanessa. I mean, they hand out boxes of food in Caracas. I mean, that's how they survive. The government hands out boxes of food, and they get their loyalty from the people because they hand out food boxes. I mean, think about the system they have. And then when other food tries to come in, they blow up the trucks. Incredible.
Yeah.
Then Jeff Green's network.
Power taking is what that is.
I know, Libby. And then the third billboard here by Job Creators Network. These are all in New York and Times Square. It says, right. Amazon pullout. Hey, AOC, this billboard cost about $4,000. But you cost New York 25,000 jobs and $4 million in annual lost wages. Ouch. Job Creators Network.
Right.
It is too funny, right?
Yeah, but it's the truth. You know, she was, it sounded like, you never know with her because she changes her story every other day. It sounded like she was against, you know, the tax incentives that New York was trying to give Amazon to get them to come here. It was a huge bidding war of tax incentives and all that. But she took it as that money was there anyway without Amazon.
I know.
And they were just giving away the money without the jobs and the, you know, the incomes that Amazon would bring in. She clearly doesn't understand how economy works. When I'm looking at some of her provisions in this new Green Deal, just talking about the food in Venezuela, she wants everyone to go to a plant-based diet. That the government, I guess, would hand out. Well, who wants the government in charge of their food, honestly, or their health care, or any of the other things?
Exactly.
You know, giving people jobs, that's not their role. They need to get back into their lane.
We're with Libby Szasbo. She's a business owner in Colorado. She's also a member of the Jefferson County, was it Jeff County, right? Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, Board of Commissioners, yes.
Board of Commissioners, depending on where you are. And she was also a state representative in the Colorado State House and assistant minority leader. Now they've got two new billboards, the Job Creators Network, Libby, that have come out today in New York. One says, hey, AOC, the Green New Deal stinks. And then the second one, I'm going to tweet these out. The second one is a picture of a cow looking into the billboard. So you would think, you know, you're accustomed to seeing the cows, and the ad is for Chick-fil-A, right? So it's a cow looking into the billboard, and the cow says, maybe it's those farting cows, laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so funny.
You can't make this stuff up. You know, the earth is going to melt, you know, because of global warming, because the cows, you know, can't keep it intact. Who thinks of that?
Farting cows.
The common sense is not so common up there in Congress.
I would say not. I mean, part of her thing is, you know, part of her thing is farting. We have to stop eating meat because cows are farting and emitting some kind of something into the ozone that's causing global warming. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And I really commend the Job Creators Network for making, first of all, having the creativity to make these so funny. And then to put these billboards up and fighting back. And obviously it's gotten her attention, Congressman Cortez Libby, because she's tweeting back at them. And every time she tweets back, they hit back harder. But they do it in a way that's really funny. But it hits home. I mean, you know, the new Green Deal is ridiculous. Why don't we talk about that for a minute? I mean, some of the provisions in it, Libby, some of the provisions are just, they're so stupid. Like, no air travel. And I think it was a senator from Hawaii says, well, that would be an awful long train ride. I mean, like, they would cut Hawaii off from the United States. I mean, this stuff is maddening. It's out of a comic book.
You know, she's talking about out of one side of her mouth, cutting off air travel and all these different kinds of travel. And then she says, and we're a global economy. Well, what does that mean? You can't have it both ways. If you can't get across the globe, you can't be part of, you know, what others are doing. Some of this stuff is just crazy. And I think the craziest thing is that it all needs to happen in 10 years. I mean, that's no time at all.
You know, what's amazing, too, is you get a lot of the Democrats on responding to the Green New Deal that the Job Creators Network is calling the Green Raw Deal. But it's really, I mean, it really is something that came out of a cartoon network. It's like it walked out of Nickelodeon. I mean, it's really Looney Tunes stuff. So instead of Democrats, traditional Democrats, just saying this is nuts and kooky, like whatever, go away, you know, they have to say, well, it's aspirational. What is aspirational about destroying the United States economy and taking on another $97 trillion in debt? What aspiration is that?
It isn't. It's, you know, why would we want to ruin the greatest country in the world? And, you know, at one point, I think the bill will come to a vote and the senators will have a choice to make. I know they're saying, oh, if you bring it to a vote, it's a political tactic. But when I was in the State House of Representatives, every time I turned in a bill, the idea was to get it to a vote.
Right.
To pass it. Right.
That's
the idea. That's why you turn in a bill or a resolution.
I know,
to get
right?
a vote on it.
It's so ridiculous. This is just – the stuff is beyond the pale. And right now, you know, we've got more jobs available than people, 7.3 million jobs, 6.5 million people to fill them. It's incredible. I'm out of time right now for this segment. Libby Szasbo, Colorado, thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it. More information, go to taxcutswork.com. That's taxcutswork.com. And we want to thank the Job Creators Network for their bill.